This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome to the Mom Room Podcast. My name is Renee Rina, and I am definitely the mom friend you have always wanted. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's solo episode. It is truly a solo episode because my dogs are not even here. They are at the groomers getting their hair did. So I'm truly alone in the house, which is an incredible feeling. It is supposed to snow like a mofo today. You know shit's going down when they cancel the buses. So long story short, our new car came in yesterday. It took a while to come in because they had a part that was recalled. So that finally came in. They changed it, whatever. And so we had to bring it this morning to the place to get the winter tires put on. Thank God they could do it today because we're supposed to get a ton of snow. And so I'm going to have to walk to go pick up the car once it's ready because my husband has his car at work. And obviously I can't drive there and then drive two cars home. But I'm expecting to have to walk through a blizzard. So far it hasn't started snowing where we are. It's almost 10:30 in the morning on Wednesday. So fingers crossed, but I'm expecting a shit show. What else is new? I've been pooping nicely. I know everyone's been so invested in my struggles with digestion. I have made so many changes that I think even down to how I sit on the toilet, okay? That is a change I have made and it has been life-changing. So I want to share everything in one episode, probably in a couple weeks. And I'm just going to go through everything that I've changed, like what supplements I'm taking, because it's been working incredibly well. So I will just say that. My husband came home from work yesterday and I was just like ecstatic. Okay. Today's topic is mom guilt and partner guilt. So I talk about mom guilt a lot. I feel like everyone can relate to having experienced mom guilt. We all know what it feels like. But partner guilt, I feel like I made that up a while back because I was feeling the same kinds of, you know, like mental struggles. You know how it just kind of like ruins your moment. Like that's what when I think of mom guilt, I think of like it just sucks the enjoyment out of situations, even if those situations should be enjoyable. That's how I view mom guilt. And then I started to realize that I was actually experiencing partner guilt as well. So I will get into what that is, and maybe you guys can relate to that feeling also. Mom guilt, the first thing I will say is guilt in general, like based on the research that looks at guilt across the board, is a useless emotion. So what I mean by that is guilt does not change future behavior. So it's like, We feel shitty. We feel like a failure, like we're doing something wrong. But in the future, we're not going to change that behavior because we felt guilt. So it's kind of useless, you know? Evolutionarily speaking, usually things are there for a reason and they, you know, have some kind of effect on future behavior, but guilt does not. So guilt is a negative evaluation of the self, feelings of failure. And when I started to experience mom guilt, and I was looking at just guilt in general, when you look at the definitions, you're like, what? Like, why am I having these feelings when literally all I'm doing is watching Toy Story on a Saturday afternoon when it's sunny outside? Like, I wouldn't call that, like, I'm a failure. Like, I've failed at something. Like, I have failed at so many and, like, struggled through so many other things in my life. And never did I have the feelings like I have as a mom. It is so bizarre. I also think that mom guilt is kind of portrayed in the media and thought of by people who are not moms as kind of this like funny thing. And then I realized that once I became a mom, it is not just like a funny, not a big deal kind of thing. It literally ruins moments and days. Like I said, it sucks the enjoyment out of situations that should be enjoyable. And I started to notice like, okay, it's Saturday afternoon. It happens to be sunny out, but maybe we're tired. Maybe we had like a really busy morning, whatever it might be. So yeah, we're chilling on the couch and we're watching Netflix. We're watching Disney Plus, whatever it is. Why can I not enjoy this moment right now? Like, why is my mind thinking about what we should be doing instead and like stressing about screen time, even though rationally I know that us watching this movie right now or this TV show is not a big deal. And that's the issue with mom guilt. It is not rational at all. It is not rational. And I mean, if you feel bad because you legit did something terrible, like, okay. But for the most part, we experience these feelings based on things that just do not matter at the end of the day or like within an hour. Like, is this going to matter in an hour? No, probably not. And I started to notice that my husband could enjoy these moments. You know, he was just chilling, living his best life, enjoying Saturday afternoon, cuddling with his toddler on the couch, which is what I should have been doing as well. But, you know, maybe on the outside, it looks like I'm sitting there enjoying myself. Internally, I'm like, oh my God, okay, so if we're watching TV this afternoon, that means tomorrow we should get outside, maybe go for a walk. Like, I'll start like planning out the next day to like make up for us watching Toy Story. And if you follow me, you know that like I am a fan of screens. I don't think that screens are the problem. I have an amazing episode with Dr. Cindy Hovington from Curious Neuron. She's a neuroscientist, and we talked about screen time. And in that episode, you will find that it's all about balance. And it's not like that screens are the devil. It's just, are screens replacing important other things in your child's life? So, you know, for us, Milo goes to daycare full time. He is playing Monday to Friday, like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. with friends. He's outside. Like, I have no issues with watching screens every now and again, or even, you know, like before bed or whatever it might be. So why do I feel guilty watching a movie on Saturday afternoon? Even though rationally I'm like, no, this is fine. Anywho, the guilt is a mental load. It's like never ending. And it's like this nagging thing that's on your brain for everything. You're not doing enough. You're not doing it right. It just sucks. How I have tried to combat it is to be, and I say this all the time, like to be intentional with what you're doing. So I literally will tell myself inside my head, okay, Renee, You are going to sit down now and you are going to watch Frozen and you are going to like it. Okay? You're not going to worry about what you're going to do after you watch Frozen. It's not important. Just sit down, enjoy your movie with your son. So that has really helped to actually be intentional about what we're doing. So, you know what? Like, and I have to do this with myself too. If I want to actually relax and sit down and watch a TV show, let's say like Sex and the City in the evening or something, I have to be intentional and be like, okay, Renee, you are going to sit down and you are going to watch this show and you are going to just chill and not think or do anything else. So that has really helped. Also thinking about parenting choices, that has helped. And then also being organized. So, you know, if we're going through a period where Milo is struggling with dinner time and he's not really hungry or not wanting to eat certain things, then I will be like, okay, how can I make myself feel better about this? I will bring healthy snacks in the car when I go to pick him up from daycare. And then, you know, when dinner time comes, I won't be as stressed about him having to eat something or have like something nutritious. So yes. What else? I tell my husband, like when I'm feeling a certain way, I'll just like say it out loud. And then it sounds so ridiculous that my husband's like, oh my God. And then it kind of like washes away because you put it out into the universe and then you get feedback from your partner that's like, oh my God, just relax. Like, this is not a big deal. And then I feel better. This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transition to table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddo's mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of the Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home. But for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. But I feel like as moms, we're being pulled into, like, no, 1 million directions, not even two, okay? It's like when I think about all the things that I want to get done and things that I want to do, whether it is like related to Milo or not, like even just basic self-care things. The other night, after Milo went to bed, I grabbed all my nail stuff, like my little cuticle cutter and like the thing that pushes back your cuticles. And I sat down and I actually like cleaned up my nails. I didn't paint them. Like, I'm not that, you know, I'm not there yet. But I actually like cleaned up my nails and I was like, wow, like good for you, Renee, like for doing this like basic, you know, practice of hygiene. And then what did I do last night? I did something. What did I do? I don't remember. So I did my nails one night and then the next night, I think I like shaved my armpits and like, oh, I exfoliated my face, like big time exfoliation with nice cream. And I was like, wow, you know? So anyways, getting back to my point is that there's so many things that we want to do. And it's like, at some point you need to compromise. And so something is not going to be exactly how you want it to be or like your ideal situation. If I put 1000% of all my energy into making sure every bit of food that I serve Milo is exactly what I want it to be, like in an ideal situation, we were outside every single day, like we're doing absolutely everything to, like, if I lived in an ideal world, I would be a miserable human being. And then even though, you know, Milo was eating healthy, now he has a mom that is like a shell of a human. So it's like you have to give and take and you have to compromise on things. So yeah, I'm, you know, instead of preparing healthy snacks for the next day, I am going to freaking clean up my cuticles. And then I felt so good about myself after that. I was like, wow, like I took time and did something for myself. So, it's understanding that we are not going to be perfect in any area of our lives, but you need to give energy to your partner, to your relationships, to yourself, to your physical health, to your mental health, to like hobbies and interests, to your work, to your child. And, you know, I said child last, but it's not like I think the child should come last. I'm just saying, like, there's so many freaking things. Also, your home. Like, oh my God, I walk through my house and it stresses me out so much because there's literally stuff everywhere. Like, it is chaos. And you guys know that I recently, like, I worked with a designer. She made the whole plan for the living room and the dining room. So that will come. And I've slowly, like, we've been ordering stuff. We're just waiting for stuff to come in. So I'm hoping that will, you know, be fabulous and it will kind of encourage me to start doing the rest of the house. Like, I want my office to be organized and it's not. I finally did our closet, which is, you know, it's like a different world in there now. But now we have all the clothes that we want to donate in a massive pile in the hallway upstairs. It's like, it's never ending. So the home is another big one. So you have to kind of like spread yourself out and find this balance. And I think just because of how our brains are wired, the fact that we are, you know, doing not exactly what we might think is ideal with our kids or for our kids, we are going to feel mom guilt. But just spend some time working through what your priorities are. Like for me, changing Milo's snacks to be things that were good for constipation has like been life-changing for him and it's really helped his digestion. So now for me, that is a priority, whereas before it wasn't. So it's like pick and choose where you want to spend your energy. Okay, enough rant about mom guilt. I could go on forever. Next up, which maybe I swear to God, I made this up, partner guilt. Okay. Before I get into partner guilt, I just want to mention, which I don't think a lot of people think of mom guilt in this way, but people feel guilty over things that they think. Okay. Like, let that sink in for a moment. People feel guilty. And it could be this like chronic underlying guilt because of things that they think. So a good example is, I don't like playing with my son. Okay. Some things are fun. Like I love doing Legos. Play-Doh is fun for, you know, a certain amount of time. But other parents feel the exact same way, but they feel bad about feeling that way or thinking that way. Feeling guilt over not being like overwhelmed with love and joy and thinking your labor and delivery was the most beautiful thing in the world. Like, you know, I think people have expectations that they're supposed to feel that way and then they don't. And now they're like, oh, well, what am I, a piece of shit? Like, am I the only person that didn't feel this way? And it's like, no, once you start verbalizing these things like I do on social media and you read people's comments, you realize that there's a lot of us out there. Like, we're all thinking and feeling these things, you know? Every once in a while, I'm like, oh my God, remember when I used to live by myself in a condo downtown Ottawa? Like, it was amazing. I can understand that if I was living that life, I would crave and want the life that I have now. But still, you know, people have these thoughts, you know, being super bored as a stay-at-home mom. I think that is very common. But if people are not fully enjoying parenthood, they feel guilty and they think there's something wrong with them. And I will just say that not everything about parenting is enjoyable. There's extremely difficult moments. More people just need to talk about it. But the guilt over thoughts, I don't think is talked about much. So partner guilt, quickly, I think I made it up, but I should Google it and see if it's actually a thing. So I'm going to Google it on my phone. One second. If the microphone makes funny sounds, like, I'm sorry. Sometimes when you put your phone near the microphone, it makes a sound. Okay. When I first started talking about this, I looked it up and it was more about like relationship guilt as opposed to like once you become a parent, you start to feel partner guilt. Okay, so I will explain what this is. Giving an example. So if, for example, my husband was like, you had a rough day or like you're not feeling well, I'll go up with Milo, do bath time and bedtime. Like you just like stay downstairs and, you know, do your thing, read a book, whatever. I would be like, oh, thank you so much. Like, this is amazing. And I would stay downstairs, but I would not be able to be fully present in enjoying alone time, knowing that my husband was upstairs by himself, giving Milo a bath and doing bedtime routine. I know my husband is fully capable. Like if I left today for a week, my husband, like he's got it all. He knows everything. He does everything. Because since day one, we have done bath time and bedtime routine together every night, unless he's at work. So rationally, again, it is not rational. I know that my husband is fine. Even if Milo has like major meltdowns and it's a struggle, my husband will be okay. But I have this thing where because I myself think that doing bath time and bedtime, like I know it's not as enjoyable when my husband's not there, and I always like when my husband is there. It can be really difficult sometimes when you're by yourself and they're, you know, not behaving in the best way. It can be difficult. And so I sit downstairs and I feel like I'm thinking about that. It's almost like I know that it's difficult and it's more enjoyable if I'm up there with my husband helping out and like just like chatting and, you know, whatever. So I have partner guilt because I know that it's difficult. And so I feel like I should be up there and I feel bad almost for not being up there. Even though I do it by myself all the time, because when my husband's on call and he has to stay at the hospital, I end up doing bath and bedtime by myself. So another example is the point of partner guilt is that even when you have the opportunity to have alone time, I find it very difficult to be like mentally able to enjoy that alone time as you would, let's say, if you were at a hotel in another city, you know, completely removed from the situation. So I find it very difficult to enjoy alone time because of like the mental load of partner guilt when I am still in the house and they are in another area of the house just living life. Another example is, you know, if it's the weekend and I go out shopping by myself, I, even though it's super enjoyable and, you know, it's not like I set a time limit for myself, like, okay, I'll be home at 2 o'clock or I'll, you know, be back in an hour. I have this, again, it's always like a mental load that I should get home as quickly as possible, or like I shouldn't stay out too long, or like I'm constantly thinking about, okay, like I'm gonna do this, like how long have I been gone? Like, and I don't know where that comes from because my husband could care less. You know, if I left for the entire day, like he'd be like, okay, can you bring home dinner? Like he doesn't care. He's never verbalized anything about like, oh, make sure you're home like this, like at a certain time, never. So I don't know where this comes from, but I'm assuming I'm not the only one that has these thoughts or feels this way when they're out or when they're trying to have alone time in the house. So that is my rant. I feel like I should drink some water now because I literally pressed record and just like blabbed for 23 minutes. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. That's that on that. I will say for the book club, okay, February's book is Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart. March's book is An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. Highly recommend both books. I haven't decided on a book for April, but I do know what May's book will be. May is when Mother's Day is, so I picked a book for May, and I will share that online soon, once I figure out a book for April. So yeah, maybe you know what I'll do? On my Instagram, I will select two books that are like potential picks, and I will do a poll and see which book you guys want to read. So I will do that. Other than that, I hope everyone has an amazing weekend. I have an incredible episode coming up on Tuesday with Anna Malaika Tubbs. She, spoiler alert, wrote the book that will be the book club pick in May. So definitely check that out. And yeah, I hope you guys have a fabulous weekend and that your children sleep, and you as well.